Glad the Spirit of God has come and be with us this morning. It's open our hearts so we can be blessed by it. We're going to read this morning from St. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have gathered this morning, Father, we're praying that you are in every heart, Father, that is present. Lord, you will bless them, give them strength and courage, Lord, and yield unto you that your faith we would have and that all things would be blessed according to your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask you to bless all of these in the building, in the Sunday school classes. Lord, touch them. Lord, give them strength that they may grow and be strong. Have wisdom to follow after your holy word. We ask you to touch Brother Dale in a special way this morning, Father, that which you have given unto him, that he will give it unto us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. St. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit.
And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats.
And he shall sit the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left.
Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
For I was an hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirst, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in.
Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me.
Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we in hunger, or fed thee of thirst, and gave thee drink?
When saw we thee in the stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee?
Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?
And the king shall answer and say unto them,
then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels.
For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink.
I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not.
Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee as hungry, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?
Then shall he answer them, saying, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away in everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting. Amen. God bless you. May be seated.
Amen. That passage really shows the true nature of Christ and the believer. Amen. Truly living for others. Let's turn to page 389 in the Spiral Songbook. You have it near you. Is it well with your soul this morning? All is well. Amen. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. That should be our desire. That Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. Oh, it is well. Calvary is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, just praising this morning. It is well.
blessed hope, blessed hope, oh my soul, oh it is well with my soul. Again, in prisoner chains, with bleeding stripes, oh Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. Chains were loose and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. And I give you honor. I give you my praise. You are the light. Bless his name this morning. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give.
you ever want to defy those chains that try to bind you, just call on his name and start praising him. Amen. Just giving him thanks. Let's turn to page 169 and sing this song before our brother comes out this morning. Lord Jesus is so wonderful to us this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, sanctifies, blemishes all my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. And he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of my past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book of heaven. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he, and he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. I'm living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change grace had wrought in my lowly station. Have received full and free salvation. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Oh, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Let's sing that first verse again. Sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, sanctifies, limits all my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine. River, Jesus is wonderful, mighty. Let's all stand. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name.
Let's give the Lord a clap of praise.
Amen. Prince of Peace, mighty God, mighty Counselor, Redeemer. He's there all. Amen. Shake each other's hand and greet him in the name of the Lord this morning. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name.
Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh Lord, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
and I want to see.
You might find him. Right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Pray that you're having a good time serving God and living in the day that we're living and hearing God's word and being directed and all of that. So just remember all the announcements now that were made. Remember the Valentine's Day for the husband's wife and all. Make the sign-up sheet downstairs. Make sure you sign up and everything. Remember that. Today is Wade's birthday, so he got on the big 6-0. Yeah, that's pretty good. Big old 6-0. That means I'm hitting 8-0. Yeah. 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 We're getting out. Let's do it. Okay. But just remember that. Brother Ernie Villanueva will be here with us, Lord willing, on the 9th of February. Just remember that. Brother Bob, he's in the back, I guess. And he'll be ministering for us, Lord willing, Wednesday. So we get the thumbs up. Okay. All right. We always do. One of them's in the hole and do, but we understand. Okay. Any other now? Yeah. Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6:00. So remember that one. Now remember, it's not the children's one this time. That will be the next going on over. So remember that. Just keep in mind. Yeah. Okay.
All
right. Yeah, right. Amen. Anything else? Brother Russ Dunkard will be with us this coming weekend to visit with us a while. He loves to leave that good warm climate up there when it's like it's 20 or 30 below zero to come down here where it's good and warm and all like that. So remember that. Anything? How is Carolyn? Okay, so just remember that and keep praying for Carolyn there about that. Anything else? Anybody else got a request or what?
Is there?
Sister Barbara's real sick, so remember her. Just keep in mind. Remember Brother Hal and Sister Audrey, they're both real sick. Remember Brother Dick, Brother Al, and all the different ones and all. They just... You know, the devil is beating on everybody here trying to get us older and trying to get us sicker, but we just keep fighting back. So that's, you know, that's just keep on punching. All right, remember, Brother Marlowe's wife. Okay, all right. Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity that we have, Lord, to just take a little time and sit down for a little bit and just talk about you. In your great marvelous work and understanding and what you're doing in the last days among us, we ask you to forgive our sins because we want to be covered by the blood and kept covered by it. So just let that be there for all of us. Bless each one. You know the needs of the sick. You promised us. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So just remember all of these that are sick among us. Have your way, Lord, and let your light shine in our hearts. And Lord, just let the understanding that we have need of, because we need that more than anything else. We have the word that we can read it and things, but we need it revealed to us. And we ask you to just have your way, Lord, and open our eyes to it. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start reading on verse 32, but before you do there, I'll just read this one, verse 13. Now remember, Hebrews 11 is the Old Testament saints. Now you can interrelate to the last few verses and pick up dot in this and that and bring in, but that's fine. That's no problem to bring in, the New Testament part to it, but mainly it's the Old Testament. All right. So then being in the Old Testament, then we want to, keep our thoughts into that line. All right. Then, it'll do. So, I'll read this one, then we'll go into where we're going. Verse 13 of chapter 11 says, these all died in faith. Amen. Now we'll reread this one. I didn't know where they were going to get that. Okay. Not having received the promises. Now all of these Old Testament saints died in faith, not having received the promises. Okay. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now we'll go to verse 32 and start our reading for today. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Baruch, Samson, and Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised up, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and gorgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens, in caves of the earth. Now here's almost a repeat of the one we read in verse 13. Now watch. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Okay? Now remember verse 13? They didn't get the promise. All right? These all died in faith, not having received the promises. All right, now what are you talking about? See, now watch then. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You may be seated. The Lord added his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, what I want to do is, because we preached on this not too long ago, and we're always doing that, but I want you to lay into the thought of thinking about they without us cannot be made perfect. So they're waiting on you and I. All right? Now, our thought for today is this. God is waiting on you and I. Amen. Now, see, we're trying to pick it up to a higher order because we're going to have to come through the Old Testament saints and cover that, right? And come into that part and come in through the church ages and all to tie together all together. But when we finish in the ending of the message, I'm saying that when you come to that, you'll see what I'm talking about, that God is waiting on us. Amen. Yeah, but now we're always waiting on him. Well, well, he might be waiting on us.
Amen.
Okay? So let's take that thought in our mind, but let's keep it together as understanding now that what we want to do. Remember, as I said, the Old Testament, it says they could not be made perfect. Now, we know that doesn't mean sinless perfection. That is not what it's talking about. It's talking about like Matthew 5:48, where be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It means complete. Something is not complete. All right, we look back at those Old Testament saints, and we see that great things took place and great happenings and wonderful things and all like that. And like I've always said, we talk about we have the new birth. And go look back at what they done without the new birth.
Amen.
You know, look at the things where they lived and what they done, doing it by faith.
Amen.
And then one of these days we will finally realize why it says, and the prophet emphasized it so much, that Abraham is the father of faith.
Right?
Right. See, then we'll see that there was something about it, and I've always tried to express it this way. Abraham was a man just like we are. He was not no supernatural thing. He didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sure, he could be anointed, right? That's fine. And was, and things happen and all like that. But yet still, Abraham was just like a human being. You know, this thing didn't start with supernatural hoopla of faith. Are you following me? This did not start that way, because had it started that way, or maybe we say God started it that way, but yet it fell away from his original plan, but yet still his plan is coming forth and to be made manifest here and completed, all right? But my point of what I'm talking about, see, faith, we look at faith and we try to figure out this and try to do that and all like that. But just remember, faith has to start by believing God. Just simply believing. It doesn't start in a supernatural realm. That's what I want you to get. It comes into a supernatural realm by the fact of starting in a natural realm and environment and time and people and things, you know, and looking back at them and saying, look what they done without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, then you'll see why the prophet would emphasize it like that. He said, if they could do that like that, what about you and me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? All right. See, but my point is one thing. I've always emphasized this when I speak about Abraham. Abraham was a man just like we are. Not a super duper guy. He just believed God. God spoke to him one day and said, take your wife and your family, get up and leave. Well, there he was making a living, probably was a real good living. You know, he probably was doing great. And he goes into his wife and he says, honey, pack the duds. She said, why? He said, we're leaving. He said, where are we going? Don't know. Well, that would put her on the opposite side, right? Because if she'd have told, if he'd have told her they were going down here or going down here, she might have had some idea or something. But she had no idea what he was talking about whatsoever. And really, in essence, he didn't either. Because he's the one that said it. See, he left just believing God. Get up and leave. Well, where'd I go? I'll tell you later. That's the best answer that he could have got out of the whole thing. Right? Did you get up and you start walking? I'll let you know. When you get to where you're supposed to be, I'll tell you. All right. That's what we call faith. That to me is what is faith. See, we look at faith as a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen before faith. We want to put faith as some great thing. And it is. Don't misunderstand. But it starts in simply believing. Okay? Now, if you don't get nothing out of the message today, you get that. That Brother Dale believes in Abraham was not a born-again believer. He didn't have a super-duper faith to start with. His faith increased as he went on his journey. And one day he even had so much faith in God till he took Isaac up and was going to kill him. Because remember what he said? In other words, he plainly said, I got him from the dead. And if I have to kill him, I'll get him back. He knew that. See, that was his faith. All right? See, we want to look for something big. Some outstanding miracle of style, a form of what we call faith. Well, that's all right. I'm no problem against it. I'm just saying that to me, that's not the way it starts. It starts by you simply believing and accepting what God says and walking forward. All right. And walk yourself into it. Or as the prophet said, confess yourself into it. All right. Now, those Old Testament saints, as I said, look at them. Out of all the things, I want to emphasize this part right here, because it is an odd situation to say that for without us, they could not be made perfect. Now, we know, as I said, the answer to that, it is not sinless perfection. It's not speaking of that. It's talking about they were not complete. There was something about those Old Testament saints that was never brought into completion. All right? Now, first off, they never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, it was promised. Yeah. This was promised. That was promised. But they never received it. All right? They were looking forward to it, but never received that. All right? So they were not complete. Are you with me? It's not saying they wasn't perfect. See, that's what we want to lay on to that point. But no, it's not complete. They didn't finish the thing that it was set out for them to do. So they were not complete. All right? See? Now, follow that point and get that emphasis in mind. But get it in mind this way. This is what I want to drive it. See? Get it into the point that they without us cannot be made complete. But look back at what they done and what happened there. Right? And you just keep reading Hebrews 11, how there's this and that and this and that and all. And then, you know, we've got over there to 32 and he says, now what could I say more of this one and that one and this one? Remember, if they're waiting on you and I, then we must have the goods to produce. If we don't come forth with that, then the Old Testament does not come forth. I know you can go back and that's all right. You get into what you want to about this and that or the other just get in mind what I'm talking about. If it's so marvelous of the things that they could do with simple faith, what's the problem with us in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Of just believing God and just saying thank you and just walk right on. My healing I get by confessing it and walking into it. The Lord has touched me and brought a lot of this out of the way of the congestions and the things and all this, that, and the other. They wanted to whack here. They want to cut there. We're still all just forget it. But my point is one thing. It's always been that way with me. And I want you to do that. Confess your healing. When you're totally sick, when you're just in a beyond all things of the mind or comprehension of thinking about being well. See, then we put that on our, well, now, it would be faith, now, if I seen it work. Well, now, that's James and Paul arguing with each other, right? You understand what I mean? James and Paul, when one of them looks like it's this way and the other one looks like it's that way, and the prophet of God said both of them said the same thing. Yeah. Paul saying it's by faith, James saying it's by works. He didn't say it that way. The works is faith expressed. All right? Now, are you following my point? See, then Paul could make a confession, but his confession must be the same confession that James made. It's just lack of understanding. All right? Now, so they're both saying the same thing. All right. So now to say they without us cannot be made perfect. Now, I'm going to throw a cog in the wheel right here in a hurry. Now, because I'm going to reverse it. They without us cannot be made perfect. Right? Us without them cannot be made perfect. Now, maybe you'll get the meaning of the word complete. Okay, come on. We're going to read in a little bit where the prophet says, the Old Testament spoke of the new spoke of the old. All right? Now, are you listening and following with me on the thought? Then they without us cannot be made perfect. It will not come to a completion without us. All right? Now, us without them cannot attain unto the completion the Bible is speaking of. So, we've all emphasized, and we keep emphasizing because it's great, of putting the dependence of Israel in the Old Testament and things like that as to be upon us in the new birth that we have. And that's great. But now maybe you ought to think a little bit about the point. What? That we can't be complete without them.
Amen.
Right? So it's not just something that we're looking at it in the wrong direction. That's why I emphasize when I always do with the book of Hebrews. You can take the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, you read it down in all of it, Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament. You can get the last few verses. You can interrelate a little bit into the New Testament. But just remember, either way. Right? Because now remember, they without us cannot be made perfect. All right? Those down through the seven church ages are in the grave waiting on you and I. Right? So they without us cannot be made perfect or complete. Right? See, they're waiting just as well. So everything is dependent upon you and I to, as Brother Brown will read in a minute, to not fail God. It's dependent upon you and I to come to a position of confessing and walking into it. Because we know for a certainty what, through the Old Testament, they did not have the new birth.
Right.
All right. So they did not have a glorified body. So they didn't have those type of things back in that situation. All right? But they must come to a place someday that they'll have to be raised and have to be brought forth. But the New Testament saints with the born-again experience, they have the new birth, but what are they lacking? The same thing the Old Testament lacks in the basis that the Old Testament needed a change of the body. We need a change of the body. Right? See, that's the point that we need. That's what those that are down, Paul, Peter, James, John, anyone you name, they're in the grave waiting on you and I to bring them out of that grave and for them to be made complete. Because the New Testament is not complete. See, until you come to a total glorified condition, body, spirit, and soul, then everything, there's nothing in completion. It's waiting.
Amen. That's right.
And that's the emphasis I wanted to put, see, to where that we don't get our minds built up. Oh, it's waiting on us. You know, get some glorified point that we think about. No. Because just remember, we'll read these over and over when we get, and I know I ain't going to get through today, so that's all right. I'll get it next week. But just remember, God's waiting on us. No, God's not waiting on us. Now, he can just do anything he wants to. He can't go contrary to his word. He can't change his mind. So, if he says he's waiting on us, then he's waiting on us. All right? See, then it's putting more back into the right line of us instead of making it to be something, oh boy, look how we are. All of that's waiting on us, man, we're something. No, we just plain old starting off like we started with Abraham. We just starting off by simple faith. Simple point of faith. To believe God. Faith, just to believe God. All right? See, then, remember these as we go along. We'll try to read it and background it to put it in. But just remember my whole point. God's waiting on you and I. Yeah. We'll quote it after a while with the prophets, you know. Where God's waiting on you and I, adoption time, when he can pour in his fullness and do the thing. Come on, we ain't lost off the message, so don't get all, you know, shakyfied. When I say something, a lot of times people don't understand it. They get a little bit, you know, you get the jitters. So don't get the jitters. I try to put the end of it on to start with so they won't get the jitters. I'm not meaning what your mind is portraying in your thoughts, that God is waiting on us. Well, if he says he is, why don't we believe him? Right? Why don't we take it to be that? See now, those Old Testament saints, look what they went through. Not even having the new birth. Huh? Then come on into the New Testament. And looking at the New Testament people and the things that have transpired in the New Testament form by the warriors of faith in the new birth, and see that still that new birth didn't make them totally complete. Right? So the Bible's right. See? Everybody's waiting on somebody. Right? See? Then after we settle the whole thing, God's waiting on us. Now that ought to make you think a little bit of trying to decide what we're here for. Right. We're the ones that the Bible said the end of all things has come upon us.
Amen.
Right?
Right
on down in Hebrews 12 or whatever, right through there. We're gathered about by such a greater cloud of witnesses. What? Those Old Testament saints are waiting. Those New Testament saints are waiting. We're gathered about by so great a cloud of witnesses waiting on us. No wonder the Bible says, how long, how long? Come on. When are we going to start realizing who we are and what's taking place? I've thoroughly enjoyed the last ministries of, you know, that's come forth here to, because they've all been into a basics of more back to the bride and getting to the bride to realize who she is and what we're here for and what's going on. All right. I've thoroughly enjoyed that because that thrills my soul. I don't listen. See, a lot of people listen and they miss the whole thing. A lot of people listen. He said so and so. I wonder what he meant. He said so and so. I wonder what he meant. What do you mean? Oh, I'm scared he might confuse me. See? Just sit down and listen.
Amen.
And if he says something wrong, said, poop. There goes the seed. Just make sure Brother Ryan said, be careful, it is a seed. But you understand what I mean? I'm not worried about getting deceived. I have never been worried about getting deceived. I'm worried about being deceived. You say, well, that's the difference, isn't it? See, you can be deceived and be right in the middle of everything and walking in the light of the love of God, but just missing it just enough to where that it can be a problem. I have no fear about somebody coming in and getting in here and spreading some doctrine. See? I don't fear that. I fear what the problem is what doctrines we got. See? That's why you ever notice, I'll say it, you know, we're not this one, and we're not Lulaites. You know. Oh, just be careful on them ites. They always got in trouble. All right. But listen. We know for a certainty what we're looking for. So, all right. So make sure you follow the line and then we'll go through it. We have the new birth. You know. The born again experience. Eternal life in your soul. And your soul can never be lost. Can never be, and it cannot be deceived. It can be hindered, hampered, etc., but cannot be deceived. Why? Because it's God living in you.
Amen.
All right. But yet still here today we're lacking. Lacking is like, and lacking is I don't have it. All right. We're don't having it, the situation a lot of times. Right?
Right.
See, what is it that we don't have? Well, that's simple. We don't have eternal life in these human vessels. Is that any problem? If you think you have eternal life in your vessel, now I ain't talking about born again experience of the soul. We've explained that now. I'm talking about your body. If you think your body's already eternal, and boy, the devil don't bother me, I've got him whooped. You already gone. You ain't looking to be deceived. You're deceived to start with. Right? Now, in doing that, then those Old Testament people was looking for the new birth. Right? Because they didn't have it. Now, come on. I'm dropping back, pick up, drop back, pick up. They didn't have the new birth, so they were looking for the new birth. The promise that is in Hebrews of the things that we said there that they failed to get that promise was the new birth. It was promised to Abraham to come forth. And that would eventually come forth into reality. Right? That they would come to a new birth. Because that was the very point of God coming to die, to release his life, to give out, and to come into us. All right? See, then, they never received the new birth. So they're waiting. All right? Now, but see, now, get over into the New Testament. We pick up the point, as we were emphasizing a minute ago. We now have the new birth in our soul. But we're still not complete. We're still not complete because we're not finished. See? We need eternal life in this spirit realm that we're in. We need eternal life in this natural human body realm that we're in. By the new birth, we have eternal life in our soul. And we'll not never be lost or anything. But yet we're just not complete yet. So now look at the Old Testament saints. They were not complete. Look at you and I. We're standing here today, not complete. So we're still dependent upon something to take place. All right? To take us to a glorified state in body and spirit to match our soul as to that point. Right. So we're waiting.
Amen.
Right. We're waiting. We're in that position. We're, I don't know what would be called a hold position or what, but, you know, we've tried to explain this for years about the dimensions and things, and, you know, you got your life, light, and matter, and then you got your fourth dimension is like TV and things like that. Fifth dimension is the center dead. And I never have understood that one because five is a good number. You know, one of these days I'm going to ask God about that because that five number looks good. But yet, that's the center dead. You know, is in the fifth dimension. The sixth dimension, according to the prophet, is the dimension to where you're going beyond the curtain of time, etc. And he went beyond the curtain of time and saw people there in that dimension. And in that dimension would cover all of those who would ever receive eternal life because they're put in a place of hold. All right? You realize that if you read Revelations 5, read Revelations 5 sometime with real clarity of your mind and thinking, and think about that you'll see then that even though they are sitting there as the 24 elders gathered around the throne, they're still not complete.
That's
That's 12 apostles, 12 patriarchs. That's the Old Testament. That's the New Testament. That's all you want to do here on. And it's still not complete. And what was it when Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time? He said, must I go back there? He didn't want to go that away. Right? But those that had been there for a while were longing to go back. That's maybe a hard way of thinking, but is it true? See, Brother Branham wanted to stay there. He said, do I have to go back? He had reached a position that was really glorious to him, but to those that was there, they were saying, how long, how long? In other words, get something done and get us back over there. We want to go back to our bodies. So then just think with me about the point I'm trying to emphasize. Why would it be relating always to say, they without us? Brother Dick always liked it this way. He said, here I am today. I'll paraphrase it. But here I am today, Brother Dick Addison. He said, well, you know, I'm here and they're waiting on us. But if I die, I'm waiting on them. Yeah, that's the point. See, if I go on and pass on, I'm waiting on you. So get on with it. That's the only thing that I've ever tried to say about anything. That's all I've ever tried to preach. I always tried to preach one thing. Hey, let's get on with this thing. Let's don't fail. Is that what the prophet said about it? He said, God wanted this bride to realize that she wouldn't fall like Eve fell. Now that's something. But I've got to point to you. I hope we can get that back now. Later we'll do it next Sunday. But for you to think about, we can kind of comprehend the Old Testament waiting because they don't have. You understand? They're not a complete position. The New Testament is not a complete position. So there is a point there of waiting. But the hardest part is that's the reason I come to this point a few weeks ago and I wrote my notes and or chatted down and I got to get to that. Because I've always emphasized and we've always said those things. But you really think about how that God's waiting on you and I. He's waiting on you and I. Now what's he waiting on us to do? Some big supernatural thing? Some great big doing? That's the reason I've been enjoying these series Wade is doing about the revival. Because that's the way I've always believed it. I've always believed that I've been in a revival ever since I come into this message. Now, I've always been in a revival. I've never had a position or a thought to where that I was so down and out about the word. Now, I've been down and out about you. I've been down and out about me and all those things. But I've never been down and out about the word. Never. Because as long as that word keeps unveiling, I will never get tired of it. Right? You talk about, well, I read this and I read that, and one day I read it, and then it just jumped up off the page. Well, see, I believe the whole Bible is laying there like that, you know. I believe the whole message is laying there that way. And see, I've never been down and out about the way things are going in the world because, just be honest, God always kept me posted on to the future because you can argue what you want to about it, but he did. Because, see, the first message I preached in this message was that the bride of Jesus Christ would be the Son of Man in the last days. And that's what your prophet said. So you can argue him now. It's not a paraphrase. It's direct. The bride will be the Son of Man. The Word made flesh. All right. So then, why could I be down and out about anything? The joy is to see. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, said, how does it make you feel when you stood back there? That was 1969. And you stood back there and said the bride would be these. I said, It doesn't build me up and great glorious hallelujahs and all this and everything. You know, I've never reached that when Brother Branham says in Spoken Words Original Cetus in one of these quotes, he said, now I got a big hallelujah right there. You know, maybe I've never reached that point myself to get a great big hallelujah, but at least I can get a few amens in my own self, you know, to believe in the word. All right. But listen, church, to realize that God is depending upon us. Now, don't worry about it. We got it over here where Brother Branham says he didn't complete what he came here for. Right? He says it's left for the bride to complete it. It's in the notes. So keep the notes. If you want to read them, you'll have it. But listen. See, they're depending. Now, let's just drop back. Start over real slow. And let's just see, and we'll read what the prophet has to say to make sure that you follow it. So go ahead with number one, brothers, and we'll start just pulling up some things and reading them. This is taken from Melchizedek, the great prince and king. When we rally there with Abraham. Now, who's this talking about? When we rally there. In other words, we gather around, you know, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those who were heirs of the promise. All right? But now look. Looking forward to us not to fail. Huh? For without us, they cannot be made perfect. Now just take that without analyzing, without running your mind and trying to get all this figured out. And just take what I just read and think about it. Just read it. Somewhere we're going to rally, gather, connect, whatever you want to call the wording there, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think we ought to have done already had a good connection because we're the heirs of faith according to Abraham's faith. I brought that in a while ago, right? And it says, looking forward, they're looking forward to us not to fail. Well, now, okay. For without us, they cannot be made perfect. And how they're depending on us this morning, let's not fail. Keep your anchor in Christ. Now, those Old Testament saints, they're waiting on you and I.
Amen.
Now, don't flop your mind and get over it, because I've been through this, and it's been preached, and we've got it what I believe is the correct way, and if you don't believe it, that's all right. See, you say, well, some of the Old Testament saints, well, I'll just put the quietus to the whole thing. You say the Old Testament saints raised. You be careful, because they didn't all raise. Now, I'm in the Bible. Where are you at? Because the Bible said all of them didn't raise.
Right?
Right. Right? That's right. Now, so I'm with the Bible. So now, where are you at? You say, yeah, but some of these raised here. Well, I'd remind you of one thing. You get over in the book of Acts, I think it is. And it's speaking of, it says in David's sepulcher. Ever how you pronounce a patrol or ever, you got a big word jar. Grave. Grave, right? David's grave is with us till today. Now that's the book of Acts. Well, surely I think David would have been one of them that raised. Wouldn't you? You know, raised with the Lord Jesus. But it says he's in the grave waiting on us. Well, see, we don't read the Bible that way. We want to read it as to what Brother So-and-so said. Now, let Brother So-and-so go ahead and say what he wants to. I'm studying the Bible. My parts just come out of that. Let's see that. That's why people say, well, let's get away from the quote and the prophet. Let's get with the Bible. Come on. I enjoy it. I enjoy the Bible. And a big man standing up in front of a bunch of ministers one day, and he said, I can take the Bible and tear you to pieces. I said, well, you said you wanted the Bible. So, come on. I said, we'll meet you anywhere you want to be met. I wasn't bragging, trying to be nice. I was just telling the truth. It was on marriage and divorce. And I said, we're going to take the Bible and see what it says. Well, you know what? We never made a meeting. Okay? I'm not bragging, just telling the truth. And you throw it back in somebody's face and they say, well, give me the, I want the Bible. Say, okay, that's what I want.
Amen. Right.
Now you got them at a disadvantage. Okay. Right. But now listen. They're depending on us this morning. Let's not fail. Those Old Testament saints. They're waiting on us. Let's don't fail that. Okay, go ahead, number two. This is taken from Glorified Jesus. How that those Old Testament saints are looking now. Without us, they are not perfect. So they're depending on us to believe God's word. Now, they're dependent on us to believe God's word. Now, I'm going to say it in an odd way, but if it's true that a revival is a revival of the word and not the great signs and wonders that everybody looked for a revival to be. All right? And I believe that's true. Okay? Well, then wouldn't it be that the Bible would be the revelation of Jesus Christ given to us with the new birth to be able to connect to those Old Testament saints and in some way have to do with their resurrection? Are you thinking? Those Old Testament saints. In other words, they're not going to raise without us. Oh, Jesus done that. Come on, we get in the Bible. We're going to say Jesus done it. When Jesus raised, the Bible says many of them raised. But it didn't say all of them. And Brother Branham emphasizing in the way that he'll bring it out, he'll bring Abraham and all of them as the Old Testament saints. We just got through reading that. Now follow it. Go ahead to the next one on perfection, which would be number three. Perfection. The wonderful shadows of the faith. All right, talking about the Old Testament people. The hero of faith. How by faith they did such and such a thing. And how without us, they could not be made perfect. Because they are of the shadow of this to come. They are the shadow. A shadow is not a reality. The things they done in the Old Testament is covered in types and shadows. Speaking of us, right? So then what's it saying? They could not be made complete because they were living in the shadow. Huh? And that's why Paul said that they died in the faith. Sure. Not receiving the promise. They never got the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament people. I know, see, I bring that out and I realize that to some people that's a new thought. But you think about it. Jesus Christ had not died back there. And you can't have the death of, you can't have the testament without the death of the testator. I'm quoting scripture.
Amen.
So I'm not throwing off on those people. I'm putting them in the right position.
Amen.
They're waiting on you and I. Because they are of the shadow. A shadow's not a reality. Okay, go to number four. I got a new clock up there. I can even tell time now. Okay, what was the Holy Ghost given for? Same Holy Spirit that saved the Lutherans, that sanctified the Methodists, that baptized the Pentecostals, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord Jesus. When it'll be so powerful, that body will come into this group of church that'll draw the rest of them from the grave. There'll be a resurrection. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. It's a resurrection. Now watch him. What is the Holy Ghost? Well, see, you can say, well, you're not listening to what he's saying. He's putting his point back here. That's what the Holy Ghost was for. There'll be a resurrection. See, his relation is back up here. You're just relating it. What is the Holy Ghost? Without us. What is the Holy Ghost? Without someone with the Holy Ghost, those prior who lived in another day and lived under that day, they cannot come forth. Oh, come on, Brother Dale. God just go out into the grave and say, God, just raise. No. He can't do that. I'm sorry. And the reason he can't do that is because he said he wouldn't do it.
Right?
I mean, it's not that he can't, because he can. But he says it, and then when he says it, his word is binding him to the point that it has to come a certain way.
Amen.
So what's it saying? As I said to him, what? There'll be a resurrection. That's what the Holy Ghost is for.
Yep.
The Holy Ghost is the resurrection. It's the life of Jesus Christ. It's eternal life. Now watch him. What is the Holy Ghost? Without us, they cannot be made perfect. Without the Holy Ghost, it's in you. There's your New Testament bride coming forth with the Holy Spirit dwelling within her. Without that Holy Spirit dwelling in that New Testament bride, those Old Testament saints can't come forth. Because they don't have the Holy Ghost to match it. Right? See, as I said, don't just emphasize a point to where you say, well, God can do what he wants to. He can't break his word. He can't change his mind about his word. When he said it, that's the way it's going to be.
Amen.
And when that first hit me years ago, 40 years ago, where Brother Branham on the adoption series said, the whole world's waiting on the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
I had a future to look forward to. But you see, I've never believed Brother Branham was looking to the future like most think. He was looking to the present tense. I've always preached it that way, and that's the way I believe it. A born-again believer is not looking to the future. They're looking at present tense. Looking to the future is fine. That's all right. We'll get there one of these days. But see, that's a Baptist. One day when we get to heaven, we're going to have eternal life. You wouldn't in the Baptist church, so you wouldn't. You say, I never did understand what they were talking about because I thought they were talking about that I'd get eternal life. But see, theirs are always somewhere else, out yonder, out of the way. But when Brother Branham come forth, he never spoke of a past. I'm sure he did because he told what happened. He never spoke of a future. Sure he did because there is prophecies. But Brother Brown's whole message is present tense. Maybe you never thought it in that realm. It's present tense. To him, it was right there. I'm not saying he's coming. I'm saying he's here. Is that a quote? Is that what he said? He said, then we get into trouble looking at the past. We get into trouble looking at the future. He said, we fail to see what's taking place. See, that's what I'm hoping and praying, because I've prayed for that ever since I've been in the message, for people to get the revival that the revival's been, because I've always believed in a revival, always have, always believed I was in a revival. Amen. You say, well, I don't care. That doesn't make nothing out of me. I'm just saying what it is. I've always looked at something taking place. And see, that's why I couldn't get to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because I couldn't find it in the basis of it happening. Then one day, Brother Moody said, stop what you're doing. He said, look to the promise that he said it and you believe it. Well, there it was. That's all it took. Because see, I found something positive. There's no such thing as negativism in the gospel.
Amen.
Everything is positive. Oh, we look back, we look forward, yes, but what did the prophet say? That was our problem, looking back or looking forward, instead of looking at present tense.
Okay.
Now listen. So what did he say? They lived in one day. Okay, excuse me. Where's that one? Number four. We're still on it. Because I read part of it, didn't get the other. Go back to number four. Okay. What is the Holy Ghost? Without us, they cannot be made perfect. They lived in one day under that. We live in another day. When the enemy comes in like a flood, all the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. See, they lived in another day. Now, if we keep looking back, see, then we're going to die and not achieve what God has purposed for us to do. I don't mean to be sarcastic. I don't mean to be hateful, but I mean to tell the truth. When God showed me that years ago, and you know it's on tape, for 40 years I've made this statement, that God showed me that the biggest portion of people of this message would die and go by the grave. And I had no reference then, none today, of it being any problem against the fact, except one thing. They will not accept what the Word says about them. That's all I was referencing. That's all God, but he showed me. He said, they won't be able to attain unto a bodily change. You can argue what you want to. You can say, well, he didn't tell you. That's all right. No problem. I tell you I saw God when I was 11 years old. You can do what you want to. There ain't no argument. I ain't going to argue with nobody about it. I was there. And see, if we stay in another day, then why can we expect God to move us? At least move. Whatever we're doing, move.
Amen.
Have some joy about it.
Amen.
You know. I mean, if you think it's going to be this certain way, have a joy about it being that way. I am. I'm happy about it going like it's going. You know, I've always been crazy to do it. You know, when they were saying, well, Hillary's going to make it to the president, I said, I don't care if they put Hillary and another woman in there. That ain't got nothing to do with me. But I'm happy about what God has revealed to me over the years, that he's kept it to the basis that nobody hasn't been able to come in here and tear it down. Now, if you show me, let's see. Well, we've had a couple left because they didn't Didn't like it. Yeah, we had one leave, too, just the other day. Got a letter. There ain't nothing against the doctrines or nothing. I'm just going to find me another pastor. Okay. Okay. Make your mind up and do what you're wanting to do. See, we've tried to do one thing, to stay with the Word. All right. Let's see if I can get. I just don't want to go so far. Okay, let's get this one for certain. Number 5, the stature of a perfect man. You get it? These people who died in here, now he's coming up to the New Testament. Okay, that's the reason I'm wanting to bring this up. We went through the Old Testament, given the quotes there of it, have others laying in there, and all if you want them. But now we're going to pick up to the New Testament form, because listen to it. You get it? These people who died in here, stature of perfect man, are depending and waiting on us. Okay. So this church has got to come to perfection. Completion. Finished. In order to bring the resurrection. And they're under, souls under the altar waiting for this church to come to its perfection. That when Christ does come. Go ahead. Talking about the church now. It's come up to a needle point. Until the church in the minority has got to get into a place until it's the same kind of a ministry that this left. Because when this headstone comes back, it's got a little pocket like here where it's going to sit right in there on the regular pyramid. It just isn't a cap that sits across the top. It's a little flange and it's got to sit on there and cause it sheds the water. And when it comes, this church has got to be honed. All these rest the stones in the pyramid, laying so perfectly until you can't run a razor blade. Up through here, what the pyramid cap does, when the pyramid cap does come, the pyramid itself, the body of Christ will have to be honed. Not only just some creed or doctrine or something other we come through, it'll have to be so perfectly like Christ. Till when he comes, he and that ministry will fit right smack together. See, then will come the rapture, the going home. Amen. Right? You say, well, what did Brother Dale have you always looked for? That right there. I've always looked for one thing. For the people of this message to become alive in what they are hearing and what's transpiring. And that it'll start a revival, not a moving, not us going over here and running and doing. I believe in that too. That's good. I love it. But what is a revival of? The opening of God's Word. Do you see where I can stand and say, 1969, when everybody else was saying this, that, or the other, I said, the bride of Jesus Christ, according to the prophet, will be the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Word made flesh. Not in one person. It's in the entire body. I don't mean this in disrespect. I mean it in truth. So you say, well, we're waiting on that. All right. Well, we got to get that here then. How do we do it? I'm not sarcastic. I'm telling it the best way I can tell it. If you're saying it's got to be this or this person or that thing to happen, then let's get on with getting that here. Well, how can you do that? Pray and study your Bible. Is that the only way the prophet said we can get anything? Quit looking at the past and don't look at the future, but look at what's taking place. Well, I don't see nothing. That's where the point. I don't see nothing. If you're standing here in the book of Acts, you wouldn't say, you'd say that. I don't see nothing. Because I've made a challenge to people. It's kind of funny to think about. Take the book of Acts and write down how many miracles happened in the book of Acts. And take this church over the 50 years of the book of Acts. Because it's somewhere in there, 40-something years, right? that you'd have to calculate so far back here. Say 30 years. We'll just put 30 years. And we can write off miracles that took place. As many, you understand? Now see, it's not looking in the wrong direction. When Brother Branham made that statement, he said there's more miracles in one service than is written in the book of Acts. Or maybe he said in the Bible. You put that in there, but I think it's the book of Acts. Talking about his own ministry. Right? One service. More than in the book of Acts. Twenty, 30,000 outstanding miracles. 20,000, 30,000 conversions in one altar call. The book of Acts don't even stand a chance. I don't mean that wrong. I mean it in the right way of telling you to what you're looking at. You read the book of Acts. You read, you hear the prophet about these great things. All right, wonderful. But just look around sometime. Sometimes just calculate. I wish old Brother Gary Atkins was still here, because he was intending to do that one day. He was intending to write down all of the outstanding things that had taken place, and we'd have them. But, you know. In this little church, we've seen the dead raised, the sick healed. We've seen everything but blinded eyes open. We've seen them to a point. But we've seen everything that you could speak of in the book of Acts. Healings and signs and wonders right here and among us. Just a little group here. Do we believe that? Well, you know, I'm tickled to death when I get healed. I don't know how you feel. When I'm sick and things are going wrong and God comes on the scene, I don't care. I don't care who does the praying. I just want somebody to contact God. Right? We got a woman preacher down there at work that, you know, I mean, God would hear prayers. I didn't care to go tell her. I'd say, Nell, we got some problem in the church. We got a couple of people who are sick. Would you pray for her? That didn't bother me. You mean you'd go to a woman preacher and ask her to pray? Yes, sirree. I'd go to the Pope of Rome and ask him to pray. Because I'd believe he could be anointed and touch God. That's just how dumb I guess I am. I believe that we're living in a day when the greatest of all things has ever taken place is here. It's not coming, it's here. I believe that we are present tense in the greatest revival that has ever been. You want me to say it? Make you mad at me. I've been looking for this 40 years, praying about it for 40 years or more. Talking about a revival, because I've always had that in my heart. A revival of God's Word. It don't revive you for God to speak to you about his, you know, and tell you something from the Bible. Yeah. These little kids can tell you some things. Ask them sometimes. Some of them might be able to tell us some things about healing. Come on, musician. I'll pick it up next week. We'll try to go on from there, but just remember what we've covered now. We've covered the Old Testament, trying to bring that up and seeing it. We'll back up, review, and then we'll go to the New Testament. But then I want to get to that point that God is waiting on you and I. Amen. So that'll show you exactly where I've headed, where I've been headed for 50 years, where I've been that pastor in a church here 40-something years. And been looking for one thing, not a worldwide sweeping revival. Never look for a worldwide, because I could read. Your prophet said that's not what it is. But a word revival. A revival in our hearts about what God has revealed to us. That don't make you feel good within. To realize and know that God has placed within you and I the greatest opportunity, because everything from your back is waiting on us. And I'm going to say it the best way I can understand it. And if God's waiting on us, then he ain't back there. I'm going to say it right so you'll understand it. when I was referencing to God waiting on you and I, he's not back yonder waiting on you and I. He's out there waiting on you and I. Where? No, he's right here. He's not out there. He's not back there. He's right here waiting on you and I to realize who we are and what we're here for. Is that anything contrary? Let's stand. Go ahead, brother. What we got?
Sing the little chorus. Reach out.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he
goes. Anybody have a need? Just remember what we believe. He's here with us now. He's not out there. He's not back there. He's right here.
I have a burden.
You know what? If he wasn't concerned, I'd be concerned. If it's bugging you about something, pray. Don't quit praying. Because that's what Satan's trying to do. See? When he's trying to work something in you, it'll automatically cause the human element problem. You just keep praying. And the more it burns you, you pray that much more. And then you walk right back up here and say, no. Okay. All right. Just keep praying. The only thing I can say when Satan is bothering us, pray. Pray.
As he goes by, yes, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by.
Wants you to answer his prayer. And we thank you. We know you already have. He just needs to wait a little. Father, we thank you. It's all finished. And we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else just have a need?
Reach out and touch the Lord as he
See, let me and you, I want to give you this prayer call. Me and you, okay? Let's bind the power of the enemy that's on that person. And we believe it because we've got the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, it is complete. Amen. Amen. Just go believe it. Go believe it. Say it. It's done. Anybody else? He's waiting on. He's waiting on you and I to realize what's going on.
Yes, sir.
Say thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. See, we're looking out there. We're looking back there. Look right straight at what you're doing.
Right.
If you're sick, look right straight to God and say, by his stripes, I'm healed.
Right.
Yes. Don't make no difference then. You say, well, I ain't got no better. I didn't know that had anything to do with it. Well, when I get healed, I'll confess I'm healed. you're a liar. Because you can't do it that way. You're trying to prop up something. Abraham don't fit nowhere in there. Abraham believed God and just walked out on what he said. Wouldn't it be something if you go home and walk in the house and tell your wife, say, pack the duds. We're leaving. Where are we going? I don't know. But we're leaving. And I wouldn't blame any of you sisters for saying, hey, at least you could find out the destination where we could pack clothes for it. Either winter or summer or whatever, you know. No. Just walk out and say thank you. Well, see, it's hard to put your confidence in something like that. When you ask God about something, ask in believing Him. Amen. Believe in Him. And just say thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. For my healing. Thank you for my deliverance for this. Just remember we prayed there Wednesday night with Brother Durrett and them about traveling. I'm sure it must be this week because they didn't leave. So they're leaving, going on their trip, on this job. Be gone probably almost 2 months or something. So just pray for them. That the Lord would bless and guide each one. All right? Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity that we've had. We pray the things that we've said has been according to you. If not, then you correct us. We'll take care of it. Lord, we believe you. We believe that you're right here now with us. You're manifesting yourself among the little bride around the world. And all we got to do is just believe it. Help us to be at least like Abraham that could take against our hope. And believe. That it passed from hope into revelation. And then we'd walk into reality. Guide us now as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back together in you. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see our King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are